So let's have the meeting be called to order. And have you guys had the time to look over the minutes? Everything look okay? Everything look fine to me. So should we just call them approved? Yes. Okay. And then you've got agendas in front of you. Does everything look okay on there? I know Amy has some things to add, but we can just consider that in the other. Okay. All right. Well, let's adopt the minutes then and move on into the old business. The first thing I have on the list for old business is T-shirts. And last time we, at the last General Assembly meeting, we announced that what the slogan was and the charcoal had won the vote. And we'd be looking into vendors. And Danielle's done a lot of work contacting some different vendors and getting quotes and trying to get quotes and stuff. So what we finally decided was to go with a Flying Cow here in Columbia. And she's going to be trying to meet with a woman from there again, or she did this morning, I guess, and about the T-shirt making costs. We have an order form, but there's a slight problem in that there are two companies that we can go through that make the shirts for the sweatshop free shirts. And the local one, which we would like to go with, it's called Allure. But they only have regular T-shirt style and charcoal and nothing else. And so we could get other colors, but they wouldn't match and all that kind of stuff. Or we can go with American Apparel, which is not local, but they're also sweatshop free. And then you can get all the stuff in the same color, because they do have, they carry the long sleeve T-shirts, they carry the baby doll style, and they carry regular T-shirt style, all in charcoal. So the only thing with that is it's going to raise the price a little bit, about $3, I think. So like Allure, the T-shirt style is about $11. With American Apparel, it's going to be about $14 for the short sleeve and the baby doll style, and about $16 for a long sleeve. Now, to me, that doesn't sound too bad, because that's still cheaper than you could buy anything at the bookstore. So what do we all think about that? Good? We get thumbs up. Okay. So Danielle also said that in the American Apparel style, they have like 10 different kinds of for each shirt. And I'm guessing they're like different weights, and she said different cuts, you know, where the shoulders are placed or how long the sleeves are. So she said if anyone would like to help pick out T-shirts, she would love to have you go with her to help figure out which ones, because she's like, I have no idea. What if this is the regular thing? So contact Danielle if you're interested in going with her to the Flying Cow to help pick out which style of the styles. But we're definitely going to have the long sleeve T-shirt, the short sleeve T-shirt, kind of regular style, and then the baby doll style T-shirt. We do have order forms, and those will be put up on the web, although we're going to have to change the prices a little bit to go with the American Apparel cost. Danielle's also hoping to get some information about like approximate measurements so that people can sort of know what size they need to get without guessing. So hopefully we'll be able to get some of that next time she meets with Liz from Flying Cow. And let's see, anything else from Danielle about T-shirts? That's all I have. And thank you, Noelle, for who is at Business Reference right now. But Noelle made up the order forms, which are very nice. So we'll get those changed. We'll get the prices changed as soon as we have a final price on those, which hopefully will be in the next day or two. Well, Monday or Tuesday. And then we'll get those posted onto the web so that everyone can order them. And we do have a shipping price and all that kind of stuff, so you don't have to be in Columbia to order your Liskus a T-shirt.
So since we're doing this through Flying Cow, they'll accept credit cards and checks and all that stuff, or do we know?
That's a good question. Let me see. It doesn't say in the order forms. We'll have to ask Danielle that, because I'm not
okay.
Sure.
All right.
I would think they probably would, but I don't know if it's something that we have to be able to accept credit cards.
Yeah,
that's
what was
my concern. Yeah, I'm not sure, but we'll have to ask Danielle.
Okay.
So let me write that down. And we'll get that taken care of and either put it on the next order form or put it on the announcement on the website, something like that, so people know how they can pay. So I'm sure that checks and cash will be fine, but credit cards and t-shirts. Okay. Oh, and I have to announce that some of our officers are not here because business reference class is meeting, so we hope they're having good class, and I have reports in absentia from them. Okay, next item. Does anybody else have questions or anything about t-shirts? Okay. The next item I have is fundraisers. And basically, just exciting reports. We had fundraisers. They all went very well. we had great feedback about the auction. We had a lot of people participating. That was really exciting. People were really excited about the auction in general, the idea of it, the things that were donated. And we did really well. And Danielle says we have about 3/4 of the money already in from the auction. And she hasn't heard any problems about people being unable to get in touch with their donors or buyers, so everything seems to be going very well. or if you know of any problems, make sure to let Danielle know. And once all of the money from the bids are in, we will have made $639 on the auction. Woohoo! So, and I have to give out big thanks to Danielle for organizing and really hauling around and getting lots of corporate donations, and thank you to all the people that made donations and all the people that bid. And huge thanks to Jennifer for maintaining the website. That was a lot of work that week, and she did a really great job. So thanks for all of that. Then we had a book sale last week, and we had tons and tons of donations. It was very exciting. And so even though people kept buying things, it looked like the table hadn't been sold for anything because we just had more and more stuff to keep putting up. So at the end of, and last Tuesday, we decided to actually go until 6 because some people had come in, some people who worked on campus, and said, oh, aren't you going to be here when we're done? And so we stayed actually until 7:30 was when we finished cleaning up. But it went really well because people kept coming and we didn't want to say, go away, don't buy our books. So we just let them browse. But it was really great, and the grand total for the book sale was just over $275. So that's really exciting. And that brings our grand total for fundraising for this academic year to just a little bit over $1,017, which pretty much meets what we needed to cover people's conference costs for conferences that had already, people who had already been chosen to go to conferences. So, I think, if I understand correctly from Danielle, that's, we needed about $1,000. So we got there. Woo! And we'll talk a little bit more about some fundraising later on in the meeting under new business. I knew it was somewhere. So, but I just wanted to report about the fundraisers. It's very exciting. And so thanks for everyone who participated and donated and helped organize and all of that, because it went really well. And I'm really, really pleased with how we did. So, third item on the agenda is about just a report about the interview panel, because at the last meeting, the job interview panel where we invited professional librarians to come talk to us about what they look for in interviews had not yet happened, and that did happen on March 11th. And I think we got some really good feedback about that. We had the 5 panelists, and it seemed to go really well. They talked to us for a little while. And then we broke into groups, and people really seemed to find that helpful. Some people brought resumes in and had them look at the resumes, and some, you know, just talked about working in those library settings and all that kind of stuff. So I feel like it went really well. I know, Amy, you weren't there, Rianne, were you? Yeah. But did you have any comments, Amy? No. Amy has no comments. Okay. Yeah, so that went really well, and I think the panelists also seemed to enjoy themselves and got some good comments back from the panelists, so that's always good. next thing under old business is the archives workshop, and at the last meeting, I just announced that we were having it, and Todd Gilliam and another person from the Western Historical Manuscripts Center Collection are going to be doing an archives workshop on April 22nd from 12:30 to 4:30, and that'll be at the Western Historical Manuscript Collection Reading Room. That's a Saturday, if I didn't say that already. And I've sent out a couple of announcements to the listserv and have had really good response. I think we've got 15 or 16 people signed up so far out of a possible 20. So, Okay. Yeah, Todd said they could accommodate about 20, so we're three quarters of the way there. So if anybody is still interested, we do still have five spaces at least. I don't have my sign-up sheet right in front of me, but we'll talk about what archiving is, what archivists do, what's in an archive, you know, anything related. If you're curious about our working in archives or if that's what you know you want to do, this will be a great workshop. So it's being provided free. And I understand that Todd and his co-presenter are very good and very interesting. So if you're out there and have any sort of interest whatsoever in archives, just give me an email. I'm keeping the list of people who are coming. So do that. Any questions about that? No? All right. What's the question? Oh. Okay. Working out work schedules. Okay, well, let's move on to new business then. And under new business, the first thing I have is a book sale redux. After a very successful book sale, we still have 17 boxes of books left. and so we had started talking on Tuesday about the possibility of having another book sale. Just to, you know, we have got all these books, why not do something with them? So, and we still have a really great selection of books. So there's, you know, fairly extensive nonfiction collection. There's a whole bunch of fiction paperback and fiction hardback. So I think we definitely have enough. Plus, if anyone has more donations, that would be great too. So we had talked about having the book sale sequel on May 5th. That's stop day. It's the last day of classes. Hopefully the weather will be a little better so we can maybe sit outside where there'll be more cross traffic than there was. It was way too windy this week, so even though it was beautiful, sunny outside, it was too windy to actually put books out there. So, and it's a little chilly. So hopefully it'll be warm then, and there will be people happy to be done with classes who want to buy books. So we figured that'll also be a good time as people are thinking about graduating and leaving, that maybe we'll get some more book donations. So how does that sound for people? Good? We in favor of that? Okay. The officers seem to be pretty, interested in that too.
Are we going to do that from 8 to 5 too?
Yeah, I guess we hadn't really decided on a time. It seems to, like, going until 6 seemed to work pretty well because there were classes that got over at 6. Well, this is a Friday, I don't know.
Yeah. Maybe 9 to 6? Or were there a lot of people in the morning?
There actually were. We had
a
number.
Okay.
Yeah. And we still got, I was late, but we just got here a little bit before 8. I got here a little after 8 and just kind of started setting out the books then. So some people came by as we were putting stuff out and started browsing and stuff. But, yeah, we did have some people as they were kind of coming into the building or going into class. And
oh, okay.
Yeah. Okay. So thing, it's very early, but I still think 8 o'clock is probably a good time to be there. So maybe we'll think 8 to 5:30 or 6. And we can, I guess, at the end of the day, see how things go. And, you know, if everybody stops coming at 5, then we can put things away. or not put things away, because all the books will be sold. But we also talked about the possibility. There's a couple possibilities. If we don't sell all the books at that point, if we still have some left over, there are a couple of options we have, too, at that point for all the donations. In that Dr. Esser's neighborhood, I guess, has a block sale, and we could take the books there and sell them at the block sale with the proceeds to go to Liscasa. And also my neighborhood has a neighborhood garage sale, and we could just bring the books to my house and sell them there with the proceeds to go to Liscasa. So those are two other things that hopefully we'll get rid of all the books that we've had donated. But don't hesitate if you still have books to donate them again, because we can always have more books. So we'll go for that then, at least for the May 5th, and then we'll see how things go and if we still have donations and stuff after that. Okay. And then I'll go ahead. I have to get fundraising permission again, and Danielle needs to get permission from Townsend, but I don't see either of those being a problem. So, okay. The other thing under new business is officer elections. It is April. We're coming up on graduation, and we will be electing a new slate of executive committee officers. So here's a process we decided to go with. and I need to open this. Starting now, if you are interested in running for Aliscosa office, or if you want to nominate someone for Aliscosa office, you can do that. Starting now, and nominations will be open until next Friday at 5 o'clock. So that'll be Friday, April 14th, 5 o'clock, when nominations will close. After that point, I'll contact the nominees. If there's anyone who was nominated that doesn't want to run, I'll take them out. I'm going to ask people who do want to run to volunteer to write a little paragraph about themselves and why they want to run. It won't be required, but it's certainly helpful for other people to get to know who you are. And then I'll send the list of nominees and any paragraphs that people have written by Friday, April 21st, so the next Friday. And then we will have voting for the whole next week. So voting will start at 5 on Friday, April 21st, and it will end at 5. Well, I'll take email votes until 5, April 28th, until 5 o'clock. And then we'll have a final in-person vote at the Friday at 5 that night. And so then people will know if they've been elected by the end of Friday at 5 that night. This is the best way because all of the LAS students, regardless of where they are eligible to vote for this election. So I know that email voting is not terribly secure, but I can also promise to take off anybody's name so that it will still, I'll know who voted for who, and I won't tell anyone. So that's the only way I could think to really make sure everyone was included and not have to send me things through the mail, which you can do, I guess, if you want to, but it just seemed easier. So I promised if I was thinking I would print out the votes and I would just cut off the names. And so then they'd be included with all the people who vote in person. So does that sound okay?
That sounds good.
I couldn't think of any.
I did have a question. Did we decide that if you're graduating, you should not be able to vote because you really won't be around?
Yeah, I did. I looked through the Constitution to see if there was anything set in the Constitution, and there's not. So I guess it's something that we who are graduating probably need to decide. I know that's been a tradition that graduating people don't vote because we're not going to be around.
Yeah.
That makes sense to me. I guess if nobody else votes, that maybe we'd have to. But I'm expecting everyone out there who's not graduating to vote. So, and I can read you what it says about elections. Any member of the association may nominate oneself or another member for any of the elected offices of the executive board, president, vice president, secretary, treasurer, and programming coordinator. From each office, the nominee receiving the most votes of the list of members present at either the beginning of the fall semester or the end of the winter semester shall be declared a winner. These elections will take place at the discretion of the executive board. So really it's up to us to decide how that's going to work.
Oh, okay.
So if we decide that we don't want graduating people to vote, that's really up to us, as far as I interpret the Constitution. So my thought would kind of be that we shouldn't vote.
That's what I was thinking.
So, but that we can, between the officers, make that final decision, and I can send it out. But it seemed like that was kind of the consensus among most of the people in the discussion among the officers. But I'll make sure to get that officially before we do that. So that's how it's going to go. So April 28th, we'll know who next year's officers are. And then the officers will be invited to attend the General Assembly meeting, which will happen on May 5th, and that will be our last General Assembly meeting for the year, obviously.
What day was that again? I didn't catch that.
Friday, May 5th.
Friday, May 5th, okay.
Yeah. And hopefully that will be a brief meeting, and we'll just give the officers... Pardon? It is the same day as the book sale. Yeah, I thought about that, and I'm trying to figure out how that's all going to work. So we'll figure that out, but I do at least want to have a brief meeting so that the officers can introduce themselves.
We could hold it at the book sale in the background and just wouldn't be on the radio, which, you know, would be fine with me.
But that would sort of defeat the purpose of having them introduce themselves to the constituency.
Okay, you're right.
But maybe we could just take a brief, you know, have somebody, some people staffing the table and just come in and do a quick meeting. Because they don't intend us to have much business, just kind of closing up, making some final announcements, and having officers be able to introduce themselves. So we can play around with that a little while because we have a few weeks yet. But because after that, the Friday after that, if we move the General Assembly meeting, that's the Friday of finals, and I just don't know who's still going to be around and all that kind of stuff, because I'll be done before that. I'll be here, but I'll be done. So, and that's graduation day. So I do kind of still want to have it on the traditional first Friday. So does that sort of schedule sound okay as far as things go with needing to work on the 5th? So for now, next week is comps, as most of you know. And almost all of this year's officers are taking comps next week. So for now, I'm going to direct anyone who wants to know more information about the different positions, what it entails, what, you know, if you run for president, what does that mean? What duties are you going to have? If you want to be the social and programming coordinator, what are you going to have to do? For now, I'm going to direct you to the LISCSA website where the Constitution is posted. At this exact moment, it's still the old Constitution, right? Yes, okay. So, because we revised a couple of things in the Constitution, and a couple of things affect officer positions in that we added duties of webmaster to the secretary's duties, and that the GPA requirement for the officers based on the University of Missouri's requirement is that you have to have a 2.5 now rather than a 2.0. So you can read about the changes in the minutes that are posted also on the website from previous LISCSA meetings. But I know Jen is working on the new revisions. And so hopefully those will be up fairly soon, too.
I'll get those posted so they'll be ready next week.
Okay. So next week.
Okay. Sorry, my microphone over there is dead.
Oh, no. Okay. So next week, we will have the revised Constitution up. So for now, please go there and read about, in the Constitution and in the bylaws, it talks about all the duties of all the different positions and all that kind of stuff. After next week, if you want more information still, by that time nominations will be closed, but if you want some more information, you can contact the present officers. But you probably won't get a response during comps. So, so you can try, but for now, just check out the Constitution. But after that, we'll be happy to answer any questions that you have. I did want to read a little bit about the election policy. I read before about elections. And so the positions that will be open are president, vice president, secretary, treasurer, and social and programming coordinator. And so those are all of that's the considered the executive board of LISCSA. Some things to keep in mind under the bylaws: each executive officer has to be in good academic standing at the university. You have to agree to abide by the rules in the M book. You have to have completed at least one semester at the University of Missouri, Columbia, and you have to be enrolled in the upcoming semester before you can be elected. You have to have a 2.5 GPA or higher, and you have to be registered for at least 6 credit hours through the university. So those are some things to keep in mind. Let's see. And you have to announce that you're running before the election. But with our schedule, we'll take that. We won't have to worry about that. So those are things to know if you're thinking about running or you're thinking about someone you want to run. And with that, let the nominations begin. Does anyone else have questions or comments or things? Okay. So that's elections. Yes, Amy?
Did anyone have nominations now? I don't. I just said I'd ask. Okay.
Thanks. I didn't even think about doing them now. Like, ah, email. That's probably a good idea. Okay, so let's move on then into officer reports. For me, GPC report, I don't really have much to report. Because I was working at the book sale Tuesday, I forgot to go to the GPC meeting. So, and I didn't print out the minutes from the last meeting. I can tell you that we awarded, I'm on the financial committee, and we awarded travel awards, and this is to students who are, had applied. There's a whole paperwork process. You have to go through an application process, and this is for students who are presenting papers or posters, like what the things, display things. So people who are presenting posters or papers at conferences can apply for GPC travel funds, and so we did get those funds awarded. And it was very different from last semester, where I reported that we were able to completely fund everybody that asked because they had so few. This time we had 92 applications, but we still awarded a good number of awards, and varying. The top award you could get was $400, and kind of we went down from there. So people went from 400 down to nothing. But that was a really kind of exciting process to do. It was the first, I hadn't been able to go to the first semester's meeting, and so it was kind of neat. And there's a whole process and form and formula, and so it's very interesting to be a part of that whole awarding process. So that was good, and I feel good that we got so many awards out. So even though we couldn't award all 92 people with awards. So other than that, I don't have a GPC report. The other thing I wanted to talk about was PLA, and I was not at the Public Library Association as the LISCUSA president, but I decided to put it here anyway. So LISCUSA helped to send Treasure Becker and me to the Public Library Association conference in Boston a couple of weeks ago. It was the week before spring break. And so I just wanted to say thank you and to report that we had a really great time at the conference. It ended up being over 11,000 people in attendance at the conference. Most of them were librarians, and then there were like 800 or something vendors. So that was really cool. First of all, we were on all these public librarians. But the sessions, at least the sessions that we went to, all turned out to be really fantastic. And we feel like we learned a lot about various aspects of public library work. And Atersha went to a couple of talk tables, which were more like small group around a table discussions on particular topics, and she thought those were really helpful because then everybody got to share about things they're doing or whatever they were talking about, and so she really found that to be helpful. We all made some good contacts and at a placement center, so I had a couple of interviews. So I just want to say thank you to LISCUSA on behalf of Atersha and myself, because we really felt like it was a really good conference for us to have been to, that we got a lot out of it, and so LISCUSA's money was well spent. So thanks for that. And I'm happy, if anybody has questions, I don't want to take up our LISCUSA time, but I'm happy to talk to anybody about it. I'm sure Tarsha would be too, because we did have a really good time. And that's it for my report. Jen, you're next.
All I have is to be sure to check the website for the updated constitution, especially if you're considering running for one of the officer positions or if you're considering nominating anyone for those. And also, the minutes for last month are now posted. And the minutes for this one, I'm going to go ahead and post the rough minutes as soon as we're done, just to make sure that everybody gets a chance to also read them, because there's a lot of important information in this one. So watch the website today for these minutes. They will be rough, but they will be there. And ignore the phone. It's not for us.
Okay. It's like, did we set ourselves up for cold?
That's not even one of the LIS radio phones.
Oh. Okay. Okay, thanks, Jen. Amy.
All right. Well, I have a few things to go over, even though it's getting close to the end of the semester. So I don't know if all of these things are going to happen, but I guess I'll start with, concluded social events. I think lately we've pretty much just been doing the Friday at 5, and we didn't do anything more than that. Of course, Friday at 5 is always very exciting. We usually start at 5, and some of us don't go home till 10. We'll change places so we don't look weird. But so if you ever feel like, it's already 8 o'clock, I bet they're gone, we're probably not. So always feel free to drop by. Especially if you're thinking of running for a position, you could talk to us in person about it, or nominating, or just for any reason, you should stop by. It's a good time. As far as upcoming social events, I actually probably have too many things. But we'll go through them anyway. So the thing that is scheduled is April 22nd from 7 to 9 p.m. I've rented a few lanes from the bowling alley in Brady Commons. It's in the basement. It's $7 a person, and you get unlimited bowling for those 2 hours and shoe rental, which is a lot cheaper than normal bowling alleys, I can tell you. So that should be lots of fun. We're trying to do a Big Lebowski, maybe White Russian party beforehand for the Friday at 5, so that would be probably from 5 to 6:45 or so. I need somebody to host that. I know we have one person who is considering hosting, but they're also moving, so it might be kind of difficult for them. So if anybody would like to host an event, let me know. Email me or whatever. My email address is on the LISCSA website, so you can check it out there. Other than that...
Wait, I have a question.
Oh, yeah.
So you were hoping for the Big Lebowski and White Russian party to be the night before the bowling? Or
no, we thought we'd do that earlier before we go bowling.
So on Saturday.
Yeah, just to get people in the bowling spirit. Oh, not Friday at 5. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Or we could do it at Friday at 5. It doesn't matter, but I think we already had something else scheduled. I could be wrong. Sorry, I've got comps coming up, so if I'm a little scatterbrained, you'll have to forgive me. But, yeah, so if somebody wants to host it on Friday, we could totally do it on Friday, too. But I just thought it would be fun because Big Lebowski is all about bowling. If you haven't seen it, check it out. It's a good movie. Let's see. We're talking about maybe doing a graduation party. Haven't gotten too much further on the planning. One option would be to rent out the whole lower level of Brady Commons, which would be 2 hours of unlimited bowling, unlimited pool, and video game playing. I think it's a PS2 and an Xbox. I'm not up and up on the video game system. But that would only be $200 for up to 30 people, I believe. And I think it's $50 for the additional hour. So that's one consideration. Or we could always do something else. Just if anybody has ideas for that or wants to host that or thoughts, let me know. Email me. Not next week, though. Or next week. I just won't check it. And let me see. Another thing that we had talked about doing is having a barbecue and hike out at Rockbridge State Park. We had a Saturday hike. I think it was last year, right, Debbie?
Last semester. Yeah, beginning of last semester.
Was it that? Oh, okay.
The one that only two of us came to?
Yeah, I was sick. Sorry. But, yeah, we were thinking about doing that again, and it's a really nice park. They have a nice, I think it's a 2.5-mile trail that includes a nice little cave that you can walk into and a beautiful rock bridge and lots of, karst topography. So I've been on that trail a lot. It's pretty moderate difficulty, maybe easy to moderate, I guess.
Yeah,
it's not bad at all. And if you don't want to hike, you can always just eat barbecue and throw a frisbee around or whatever. It's beautiful. So be thinking about dates to suggest for that, and I'll have to look and see when we can do that. That's another idea that I have in the working. Other than that, I don't know if I'll just mention that later. Well, we were talking about doing a free food event, but I don't know how much planning we've done on that or when we wanted to do that. So another thing you can look out for that may or may not be happening. That's how exciting things are here. We don't know what's going on for.
But perhaps we can think about doing that for the 28th when we have our final election stuff at Friday at 5.
That would be good.
Free food. That always helps people come.
Who doesn't like free food? Oh, and that reminds me of another thing. Next Friday at 5, well, today's Friday at 5 is going to be at Cherry Street Artisan. Some people might be there a little later than 5, so if you're in class and aren't listening to this, you can still come. But next week's Friday at 5, I've decided to not schedule a place because I can't remember if it's GPC or GSA, but they're sponsoring free appetizers and drinks at Harpo's. And I believe that's from 5 to 9:30.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. So that's where we'll be meeting for Friday at 5, because who doesn't like free food and drinks?
And be sure to bring your student ID, because I know sometimes they check them
at these
events, because it's only supposed to be graduate students that show up. So,
yeah.
Although I think there's some kind of a thing, because I asked once at a different event about, like, could my husband come, who's not a student?
And they said, yeah, they're just the cover charge. Although then I heard that they weren't actually charging the cover charge. So bring your student ID if you have a partner or somebody you want to bring with you. Just be prepared that they may have to pay a cover charge.
Yeah. And I think, I almost forgot. HSLIG, the Health Sciences Librarianship Interest Group, we just had a meeting yesterday at Boone Tavern. It went really, really well. We talked about clinical librarianship. Be looking for the minutes or the transcripts from that on the blog. I don't have the address for the blog, but if you went to livejournal.com and did a search for MUHSLIG, you'll pop up the blog. You don't have to be a member to read it. I put all the transcripts from the meetings up. That group's been doing really, really well. Our next meeting is going to be about veterinary librarianship, and it's also kind of going to be an open forum type thing. We'll have two people, Kate Anderson and Trenton Boy, who work at the vet library, are going to be there, but it's going to be informal, and there will not be a presentation so much as people should just come with questions. I think this would be a good opportunity for public librarians because you always get those consumer pet questions, like my cat's doing this, where can I find information? My dog won't stop eating my door, stuff like that. I think these are questions that they probably deal with.
What day is that?
That is going to be April 20th from 5:30 p.m. to 7 at Boone Tavern, and I'll have a table reserved under Amy. So if you're planning on going, go ahead and email me and let me know just in case a lot of people are planning. I can get a bigger table. I usually assume we'll have 8 to 10 people, or 5 to 10, actually.
Okay.
Other than that, the final HSLIG meeting will be held on May 4th, I believe. It's a Thursday. Yes, from 5:30 to 7. We're still kind of trying to decide where we're going to do that. Thinking maybe potluck. And that would probably be just like an informal, if you have questions or thoughts or ideas about HSLIG or health sciences librarianship or any of those kinds of things, come. Everybody's really friendly and likes to talk. I think a lot of professional librarians will probably come along because they really like meeting new people and networking and sharing their experiences, which also brings up, I'm graduating this year, and if anybody's interested in taking over position of coordinator of HSLIG, it's a lot of fun. Rebecca Graves has been kind of my advisor for that group, and she would love for somebody to take over and work with her. It only takes as much time as you want to put into it. So if you're worried about time constraints, honestly, don't. But if you're interested in doing that, let me know. And I think that is all.
Okay.
Probably talked enough.
That's fine. Thank you. The next two reports, like I said, I have in absentia because Danielle and Noelle are in class. So let's see. We've already talked about T-shirt orders and the book sale sequel. The other thing is that Danielle wanted to have mentioned is that the organizational resource group, with which we are both furious today, has changed their travel policy. Last week, effective today's deadline. for summer and early fall conferences. So one of the things in relation to that is that, there are a lot of things in relation to that, but basically they're saying now that if you put down that you want to send, say, 4 students to a conference and you only send 3, instead of taking the money you were given and being able to more fully apply that to the 3 people that went, you only get 75% of your award. So that could be really annoying. And that would affect things like this year where they just gave us a blanket award for all the conferences this semester that we wanted to send people to. And we've been able to move that money around because not everybody that was originally drawn for conferences has been able to go to those conferences. We've been able to take that money and help apply it to like fully cover hotel, you know, costs for other conferences. And under the new rules, we won't be able to do that, which is really kind of a pain. They also changed their travel form, which Danielle found out today when she was trying to turn in our paperwork. One of the things, then, is that it may prevent us from asking for mileage reimbursement, which we did, like, last year for MLA, because we don't know in advance exactly where each student might be coming from, because we don't do our drawings in advance of asking for the money. So, you know, if we ask for mileage to a conference, like, say, to come to Columbia for MLA in October, and we ask for mileage for somebody to come to St. Louis, and then it turns out somebody comes from Springfield, they're not going to cover that mileage because it's different from what we said on the original application form. So Danielle is wondering if we should try to set a little bit of our surplus money from the fundraiser aside for that. Now, once we had gone up to being able to completely cover the hotel for everybody, which now we should be able to do, the intention was to put that money to help, you know, maybe another student attend, like, ALA or something like that. But this still falls under the, I mean, we've been advertising the fundraisers as raising money to send students to conferences. So this would still help with that. It would just help with the part that org probably won't help us with anymore. So should we try to set a little aside? Does that sound okay? And I don't know if Danielle has in mind, we didn't talk about that, if she has in mind like a certain amount, or if we just take a couple $100 and set it aside. Because basically for mileage, you get reimbursed a certain like part of a dollar amount based on how many miles you go up to a certain number of miles. so they'll, I think that they also reimburse gas costs. And I don't know, I forgot to ask Danielle that. But I would imagine that the same thing goes. If you turn in a receipt that says you're coming from Omaha when we said you were going to come from St. Louis, they're not going to cover that. And then we lose part of the award for everybody that did go. So should we just talk about setting aside a certain amount of money to help with these conferences? Summer conferences, we have our previous award goes up through the end of June. So the paperwork Danielle had to turn in today would be applying for funds for conferences that start July 1st and go through the end of October. So that includes the American Association of Law Librarians, which is actually meeting in St. Louis this year, and MLA for next year, for October, which is here. And so we're turning in paperwork to ask to send to help fund students from our distant cities to come to Columbia and to stay at the hotel. So that's what we're asking for now. That's going to be the responsibility of the next generation of officers, but we had to turn in the paperwork today. So that's what we've applied for. And I think she put in for 3 students to the ALL conference and 4 for MLA. And so would require mileage to St. Louis for the AALL and mileage to Columbia for the other one. I have no idea what's going to happen with gas. Or distance times. Does anybody have thoughts about, do we want to set an amount? Do we just want to say, yeah, we want to allow that to be used for that, whatever it costs?
I think we'd probably kind of have to set an amount because we don't know. I mean, it's going to depend on where they're coming from, how much it would actually cost them. So I don't think we could really do like so much per mile that you went because I think it would be better if we just like had a flat amount that we're going to give for travel, other expenses, et cetera, kind of like a little stipend type.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Yeah, like
okay.
We'll give you $50 to help pay for your travels no matter where you're coming from, something like that seems the simplest.
Although if someone were coming from Omaha, that would be a lot more expensive than coming from Kansas City or Springfield.
Yeah.
To go to St. Louis especially. Like we were figuring probably, I mean, somebody from Omaha could apply to come to MLA, but we figured they probably wouldn't because they would go to Nebraska.
maybe the law one.
But the law one, yeah, that's true. Mm-hmm.
Or we could just set aside a certain amount and then only give them the amount that their travel would be worth and just redistribute extra funds if we had them.
Yeah.
Like just figure out the highest amount that we'd give somebody for traveling.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was thinking. And we could take like the amount that org the amount that org will cover, I don't remember, I've got it in here somewhere, the, you know, how many cents per mile they cover for mileage, and we could just use the same number and say that's what we'll give you as long as you're coming from, you know, one of our charge people in Wyoming, but don't think we could cover that mileage. but yeah, I think we could probably maybe just set that, you know, 58 cents per mile or whatever it is for coming from Omaha or Springfield or Kansas City or whatever.
Yeah, that sounds good.
Does that sound all right? And then we don't have to worry about a certain amount right now, but we have a set amount. So I'll look up what that is. I know Danielle has it too. It's going to take me too long to find it in here. But so that sounds okay. Let's go ahead and do that. So we'll provide mileage for the summer conferences. And maybe org will become a little more organized. Okay, that's all I had from Danielle that we hadn't already talked about. Noelle has a couple things from GSA. So the GSA Annual Superior Achievement Awards Banquet is next Tuesday at 6:30. And Amy will be receiving her plaque and certificate at that point, and her scholarship money will be applied to her account after that. So congratulations, Amy, and thanks to everybody who nominated and voted for people, and that's pretty exciting and a big honor. Noelle also thinks that for next year we should solicit nominations a little bit farther in advance, and maybe come up with a kind of a guideline, because GSA doesn't really, their guidelines are vague about what constitutes superior achievement awards, and some people, I guess, in this nomination process were a little confused about what that meant, and so they wanted more information, and we didn't have more information. It's just kind of like, well, whatever you think. So Noelle is planning to come up with something that we can look at for the next meeting, and just to make sure everybody gets their voices heard and that we have some criteria so that people don't have to be as confused, and that we can say, here's what it is, because GSA won't tell us. So, and that's no reflection on the people that were nominated or on Amy. It's just a way of clarifying the procedure for us, since we haven't really participated in this before. And that will help us, too, if there are any other kinds of awards things that we have to apply for, if we have some kind of a set thing about this is what we mean when we say this. So she's going to do that for the next meeting. And I don't know if she's also suggesting that to GSA, that they more clearly define what they mean by superior achievement or not. The other things about GSA is that their next meeting is next Tuesday, the 11th. Yeah, okay. Next Tuesday, the 11th at 6, and they'll be voting on next year's GSA officers. And she says if she thought that any of us would recognize the names on the ballot, she'd let us know. So if you're interested in knowing who the people running for GSA offices are, you can ask Noelle. She says there's only one person running for each office, so it's kind of a moot point anyway. Unless, I guess, there's some last-minute writing candidates or something. And they're also going to be voting on whether to change the Constitution to give current GSA officers ex officio status for 6 months after their terms, because their terms end in May. And that way there'll be some continuity between the executive council so that they can help the new people. So that's what they're going to be voting on. Okay. The third thing that she has, I'm just going to read verbatim because it's from Noelle. She says, fundraisers, I think they were great successes. Hooray for Debbie for her fabulous web design, Amy for her enthusiasm, Danielle for her amazing organizational skills during both the auction and the book sale, and Jen for her awesome keeping up with the bids work during the auction. And hooray for Cynthia's amazing apple pie that I will never forget. She says, as I reflected on the fundraisers, I think we have a great legacy here that we need to build on by maybe reflecting in writing on what went well and what we think our successors can improve on. I guess that's specifically for the officers. So I just wanted to share exactly her wording because I thought it was nice. Yay for us. pardon? And yay for Noelle, that's right, who donated lots of really cool things. So that's all I have from Noelle. She also just said she was getting order forms together, which we have here in front of us. So that's it for officer reports. And Amy announced that Friday at 5 tonight is at Cherry Street Artisan, and come whenever you can. Does anybody else have announcements for the community?
Well, this is kind of like an unofficial announcement, but just another thing to be aware of is that there will be a GLA position opening up at the Health Sciences Library for next year, so next fall. So if anybody's interested in health sciences, there's another thing that I forgot to mention.
Okay.
Other than Catholic. It's a good job, and everybody's really awesome there.
And I know sort of along those lines that there will be TA and RA positions open at Ellis for next year, too, because many of us are graduating and or moving.
And we have some here at the Reflector, too.
Right. So all you people who aren't graduating,
yeah,
lots of job openings. So they come with assistantships, which means help with tuition, which is very,
which is
very
awesome.
Good to know. And, yeah, and health insurance. So, so be thinking about that if you are not graduating. I've had worse health insurance. So it is better than nothing. It's better than I had my other graduate program. Okay, well, if we don't have any more announcements, let's adjourn. Thanks for coming, everybody.